Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Dr. Jeff Kane, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-815-9756, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. And I was just sitting reading the paper. You know, we had here in New York on Father's Day, a horrible tragedy where somebody turned out to be a drug addict, walked into a drugstore early in the morning on Father's Day.
Seeking drugs.
Seeking drugs, and pulled out a gun and murdered four people, the pharmacist, the clerk, and two bystanders, two customers, you know, actually shot them in the back of the head. And as you, you all thoughts go through your head. You know, one, how could anybody be that depraved, you know, to take human life that way? But I'm always interested in reading the comments of the friends and the family, you know, the victims. And it runs the gamut of, incidentally, they did catch this guy, you know, within 24 or 48 hours and arrested him. But, some people said, well, you know, that he should be put to death. And, you know, others said, no, I hope they don't do that, you know, that he should, in jail for the rest of his life. And others said, well, that's not enough. You know, he needs to be in solitary confinement, you know, for the rest of his life. And I read, you know, one woman of the family member of the victim said, no, I don't hope any harm comes to him, you know, just that he pretty much, you know, rots in jail. So it always brings up the, you know, the question of this afterlife justice, you know. The first inclination, I mean, you know, everybody's, you know, as mad as heck on, you know, on something, when something like this occurs, and you want to see the guy put to death. But, you know, the way I always looked at it, you know, is it's sort of, you know, putting him out of his misery. but then with afterlife justice, well, maybe if he was put to death, and you know, and you do all the self judgment, that he would be forced to live this very troubled existence, on the other side. Yeah, I mean.
Well, according, we're going to go back to the we refer to it, the Bible of Testimony of Light by Helen Graves, which kind of, it's a channeled book, and it depicts what goes on the other side. And clearly, there is no burning hell. So if that's what people are hoping for, that's really not going to be the case. Everybody goes over to the same thing. Now, there are areas referred to as the shadows and areas of the light, and clearly he's not going to be in the enlightened quarters. He's going to be way down at the bottom of the totem pole, very possibly experiencing what he did to others when he had his existence here.
Well, what about this concept, you know, of reincarnation? You know, was it his, you know, destiny to come back to this physical existence and take, you know, four lives, and then you know, rot in jail, you know, as a learning experience?
Well, that opens up the greatest debate.
Yeah.
Because if what they say is true, that we choose our lives and we choose the challenges we're going to have in life, then we have to say, well, this was the challenge he had in life. But was the challenge not to take drugs, not to become a drug addict, or was the challenge to be a criminal and become incarcerated and have to either live out your life in jail or suffer the death penalty? Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah, well, we're talking about his destiny and his the things that he had to learn, but what about the four innocent people? You know, did they all choose, you know, to have, you know,
possibly.
Yeah, I think
very
possibly. It's such a hard.
You know, we look at the passing as a violent act, and clearly it is a violent act, and the last thing I want to do is minimize it. However, there is this understanding that when the physical body is faced with some sort of stress or pain or suffering, that the soul removes itself from the body. That's why very often there are always these reports of somebody who had been at the site of an accident seeing a body leave, or when somebody's in the hospital crossing over, of seeing the soul leave the body. It's that concept. So did these people, and always when you go to a medium, they say, oh, their passing was tragic, but they didn't suffer. And that's the whole thing, is that there is no real suffering. We look at it as suffering, and maybe because we've been oriented to that by Hollywood and TV when we watch this stuff. And I think, and that was the first thing that came to mind. You know, this guy does this very violent act. You know, to him, in his mind, he, on his drugs or on his mission, could have just been playing out what he saw on TV, sadly enough.
Yeah, and then, you know, you made me think also, you know, because you had, you know, the killer and then the four victims, you know, and people talk about soul groups, and as hard a concept as it is for us to grasp in this physical existence, it's possible that the four souls were related in some way in other incarnations, so it's certainly...
synchronicities of the universe.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a great guest tonight, Dr. Jeff Kane. So I guess what we'll do is go to our break, and when we come back, we are going to have Dr. Jeffrey Kane talking about life as a novice. So stay with us.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Kane. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org.
And Dr. Jeff Kane is the Vice President for Academic Affairs at Long Island University. And among his many other duties, he also happens to sit on the board of Forever Family Foundation, his biggest claim to fame. He's a philosopher who writes on matters related to the growth of the human mind, and his work has been focused on the intuitive and imaginative elements of human knowledge. After the passing of Jeff's son, Gabriel, Dr. Kane wrote a powerful and moving book of poetry entitled Life as a Novice. Welcome, Dr. Kane.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Fran and Bob.
And, you know, kind of on a serious note, I couldn't help but notice, you know, in the preface of your book that you acknowledged, and I think the direct quote was, "You once knew nothing of pain and sorrow," and I think there are many listeners who were thrust into a new life circumstance who can relate to that statement. But could you tell us a little bit about how your life changed?
Well, let me start. Actually with Gabriel's birth, because he was our first child. And I remembered how I felt. I remember how I felt very deeply. And that was, no one told me what a miracle it was to see a child born, that there was no greater miracle that I had ever known. And I couldn't believe that no one had ever really conveyed to me how precious a human life is. And so when Gabriel passed, I realized that I never knew what pain was, that I had heard about it, I had experienced much of what I would call pain, but I never knew the tragedy of the loss of a human life.
Hmm. And, you know, you have a professional career, you know, as an academic, a philosopher, and I would imagine that you certainly, before Gabe's passing, you know, must have contemplated an afterlife on an intellectual level. But, I mean, did that base of knowledge help you in any way on a personal level after you had this tragedy?
Well, I certainly have studied for many years prior to Gabriel's passing the work of Rudolf Steiner. I'd read a great deal of many other philosophers and thinkers about life after death. Even someone like as well known as Plato, in his Myth of Ur, speaks about afterlife and the journey of a soul between death and rebirth. certainly Indian religions I had studied. So I was not unfamiliar with it. I felt quite comfortable with it intellectually. It made sense to me because of the way all of the ideas knitted together so very well and so logically. But I think that when it comes to understanding life and death, ultimately you understand things with your heart or you don't understand them at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think I understood with my head a great deal about reincarnation and a great deal about life after life, but didn't know it in my heart. I would say now I know a great deal more, lessons perhaps that I never would have wanted, but I know a great deal more.
Mm. Well, when you know things, you know, from your heart, does that come from personal experience? I guess the question would be, ultimately, I mean, what's the most important, or what's more important? I mean, scientific evidence, faith, or personal experience?
It's a very good question. I would certainly say scientific evidence is helpful. It provides a rational framework, but again, rational framework is not someone's heart. And even if someone else could tell me what happens after life or what happens before life, and certainly there's a whole literature of you know, intense and detailed work that speaks about these issues, it's still not something that speaks to one's heart. Ultimately, it has to be a form of inner experience that you reach out and you reach into a point where you recognize that there is something more within us and within all people that transcends the physical world. Mm-hmm. For me, there were indeed direct experiences of life after life, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case for everyone.
No, but I happen to know that not long after your son Gabriel's passing, that he came to you in a very powerful dream, and not only did it give you some assurance and some evidence, but it provided you with a glimpse of paradise, you know, also offering some spiritual knowledge. So if you don't mind, could you tell us a little bit about that dream?
Sure. The dream began when I found myself in a garden, and I was seated, and the garden was truly more of an orchard than anything else. And in front of me, apples were placed, very large red apples, probably the size of small pumpkins. And I was amazed at these apples and couldn't believe the beauty of the orchard itself. Pretty soon I found that I was traveling. There was no one there that I could see, by the way. I found myself traveling through a forest. The forest was like almost any forest you would expect in New England, but there happened to be no evergreen trees. I kind of made a note of that as I was traveling. And I began to descend a hill at the edge of the forest, and it opened up to a grassy plain. And in the grassy plain, I saw animals, the shapes of animals in the sod. And those animals began to pop up out of the sod and take on their form. So I saw deer and squirrels and foxes, and I saw different animals just coming literally right out of the earth. And as I continued my travels, I went across a very dark, almost black body of water. And I couldn't tell if it was a river or a narrow lake, but I crossed it. And on the other side, I found my son, Gabriel, who in this dream must have been about 10 years old. He was 3 days short of his 22nd birthday when he actually passed. But there he was, seated, suspended in the air in a lotus position. And he had a silver tray that was filled with these apples, apples that I had seen in the orchard. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. No words were spoken. I longed to tell him how much I loved him, and I saw in him a very calm and secure expression. And pretty soon we began to move in unison, the two of us together, with he moving backward along the edge of the water, and I moving forward. And I was concerned about him moving quickly through the wooded part here. This was wooded, the edge, that he might hit a tree, but he had no such worries. And I noticed that as we traveled, he might shift his shoulder or shift an elbow so that the tray would tilt a bit. As it tilted, an apple would fall, and then another apple. And finally, I thought, although I did not say, Gabriel, can you tell me, why are you letting these precious apples fall? Why are you permitting this? And the answer came in an instant. And the answer was very simple. He said, these apples are gifts from the spiritual world. This is the physical world. The apples, these gifts, fall everywhere. They're everywhere to be found in this physical world. But it is not my task to determine where they're going to take root. That's your task. Your task is to tend the orchard on this side of the river. And with that, I continued on, and I flew into the air and circled back to where I had been, and I saw him standing on a cliff biting into a beautiful apple.
Well, and one thing that comes to mind is that when you have such a dream visit, it's so significant that the details stay with you. Those details will stay with you for the rest of your life. Yeah. But I guess the question is, when you have a visit from Gabe, afterwards, you must have been must have given you tremendous comfort. But do you find yourself, as time goes on, questioning yourself, wondering if it's possible that you could have imagined the experience?
I always wonder. I always question. I think that's very healthy, because it's not the experience of being at one, that is being connected to the spiritual world, is not what's intended for life on this earth. In our physical form, we are given a particular gift, and that particular gift is that we can be, or at least appear to be, separate, that we can have identity, we can have some sense of our being separate from all other being. And although that's an illusion, it's helpful in getting us to mature, to recognize others with compassion, and to develop the capacity for love. And so much of the time when I'm in my normal day-to-day activities, I am engaged in this world and not cognizant in an inner way all the time of the depth and the beauty and the meaning of this world. So, and that is its connection to the spiritual world. So often, I could feel like I've lost touch, and I wonder, did I ever really have touch? But those moments are fewer and fewer and less severe. As time goes on, I am more and more comfortable with my sense of being at one, just as I'm able to be active in the physical world as a normal, everyday person.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we were talking about this book of poetry that you wrote called Life as a Novice. And I have a couple of favorites there. But, you know, when we're talking about the search that people are on and the questioning, the poem that comes to mind is The Window. I wonder if you'd do us a favor and read that to us, if you have a book handy.
All right, it'll take me a minute to get it. But I do have the book.
It's on page 24, because I have the book in front of me.
All right. Let me give you a quick preface for these poems. The poems are really meant more as meditations than they are as poems to be read aloud and consumed in a in a single breath, as it were. And so I would hope that the real meaning of the poem is found in the spaces between the words, where each of us has to create the images and to create the meaning for ourselves. So without further ado, the poem, The Window. The window once open, where I could see and breathe and feel the touch of the breeze, is now shut. A mirror only. I press my nose to the crack, sealed, searching for the scent, signs of life guided by memory, wondering if you, outside looking in, press your fingers to the glass, or simply have left for foreign lands.
And, you know, it's a wonderful poem, and there's a story that goes along with this, and we won't get into it. I think we once talked about it on the air, but we once had two mediums who went into a meditation in the psychomantium, and one of the mediums came out from the psychomantium. Actually, I could mention her name because people know her, you know, Janet Mayer. And Janet described seeing Gabriel looking through a window. Obviously, she had never met, you know, Gabriel. And then she went on to write down a poem about the window, and Fran went up and got your book, and when she saw it, she just started crying because there was such a close match. So, you know, that was a lot of evidence for everybody in the room, and I couldn't wait to even tell you about it because your son Gabe finds some conduits to get his message across in very powerful ways.
He certainly does.
Yeah. What advice would you give to people that you know are searching or that long for these personal experiences? I mean, is there anything that people can do to help foster such a communication?
I don't know if it's particularly helpful, but I will share what I often find myself saying, and that is, do not believe or disbelieve anything that you experience. Let your experience speak for itself. You don't have to create a system to make sense of what you experience. So if you sense somehow that someone has passed is communicating with you, you don't have to say whether it's true, that the person's really communicating, or that it's false, that you're making up something to comfort yourself. Over time, the truth will bear out. So don't judge. Don't judge yourself. Don't try to determine the source. And in some respects, I don't know that a loved one speaking to you or your voice within are that very different, because it might very well be the case that the dead communicate to us through ideas that we might mistakenly believe are our own. So don't try to create a system. Just experience and let the truth will out.
Mm. And that's good advice. And sometimes it's as simple as not paying attention to your educators and your scientists and possibly your clergy and friends who tell you that these things are impossible.
I guess. I think that the most anyone can actually say in any logical way is, I don't know. You know, there are two possibilities. Either there is life after life or there isn't. So there is no certitude that I can find anywhere that tells me beyond any reasonable doubt which one it is. There's always an element of judgment. So if someone says they are absolutely certain, I say, so well, sometimes I feel doubt. And if someone says they know for a fact that spiritual world does not exist and there is no life after life, and I just say, that their faith is based on a 50-50 guess.
Yeah, I think that most people, if you ask people what they fear most about death, is the obliteration, you know, the nothingness. So they can't conceive of not interacting, with the universe and with the world. So I often think if we came to believe as a society that life was a continuum, and that we survived physical death, and possibly our survival in these other realms is based upon the life that we had led in the physical. Physical life on Earth would change drastically, don't you think?
I think if we understood that there is a part of us that transcends this physical world, and that we have a purpose beyond what we do here and what we see here and what we feel here, the whole course of our lives would change, but more so, the whole course of human history would change. I think if people recognize the depth and the purpose in everyone's being, there would be respect, there'd be great sanctity recognized, there would be a sense of mystery and awe. So I think people would treat each other with kindness and respect.
Right now we couldn't handle that, could we?
I would take the risk. Let's try it.
I know that in personal conversations with you, you've mentioned that you have a daily prayer ritual. Do you think that prayer, and I don't mean prayer in the sense of religious context, but sending a message out to our loved ones, or just our intention, somehow provides some sort of connection?
Well, if there's any truth to anything I experience at all as a human being, it is that if we speak to them, if we open our hearts to them, they hear, they understand, they experience. And if we open our hearts to them, I think although we're filtered by having physical bodies, we'll begin to understand as well.
Thank you for those words. And we're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Kane, and we're going to a break. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and there are couple of more poems that I'm going to try to urge Dr. Kane to read, because I think they show darkness moving into light. So stay with us, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Kane. This show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. With these hard economic times upon us, some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show. They want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we will receive a donation. And when you find your items in their over 900 online stores, sites, and hotels, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holidays Past raffle is up and running. You can win a one-hour medium reading with either Samara Angelet, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Stephanie Ann Stevens, or Neil Zipkowski. It's only $5 a chance, and of course, the more chances you purchase, the less money you will spend per chance, and you will increase your chances of winning, and you could very likely win all five readings because you stay in it until all of the prizes are drawn. We also have three Holidays Past events on the calendar for December this year. First one up is on December 3rd in Bethel, Connecticut with Joanne Gerber. The second one is on December 10th in Natick, Massachusetts with Angelina Diana and afterlife advocate Dave Kane. And the third one is December 17th in Melville, New York with Teresa Caputo. And our biggest piece of news is that it's up and the buy buttons are on the site for our fifth annual Afterlife Conference this year at the Sheraton Long Island Hotel in Hapag, New York. Is there chocolate in the afterlife? Our key speakers are Dr. T. Lee Bauman, who will be presenting scientific evidence of an afterlife, and Lloyd Auerbach, who will present paranormal phenomena and the implications of an afterlife. We also have Teresa Caputo and Angelina Diana, who will be speaking about mediumship, and they will be demonstrating spirit communication. And that is on Saturday, November 12th, 2011. And the night before, the most spiritual night of the year, 11-11-11, you want to be at our annual fundraiser, Night of Mediums, where you will sit for a scrumptious dinner at a table of 12. And after dessert is served, you will be joined by a medium who will then do spirit communication for your table and your table alone. These are limited seating events, so go online at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org and reserve your seats now. Bob?
And we're back with Dr. Jeffrey Kane, the author of Life as a Novice. Incidentally, there is a link on the Foundation website to purchase Life as a Novice through Amazon. Jeff, I know that if you look at the literature from going back to the ancients all the way up through modern science books, there's this underlying theme of light as being light is the ultimate source, and perhaps the light it's our purpose in these various existences to move back to the source, to move back to the light. And I know that I've heard you speak of a golden light. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. A few months after Gabriel passed, I was in his room and in deep mourning. It was dark night, and there were no lights on in his room, and there were no lights on in the house. And so as I sat on his bed, I noticed that in the air, to my right, about 6 or 7 feet away from me, the foot of his bed, the far corner of his bed, there was a golden oval of light. I guess it was about 12 inches wide and 18 inches long, just about that. Soft edges. It wasn't, shocking, but it was certainly distinct. And I thought for a moment, why? There must be moonlight reflecting off a car window or a street light, even though we don't have street lights in our area, reflecting off of a puddle or something of that sort. But I realized that if it were light, as I normally think of light, then it would be on the wall. It would be on the ceiling. It wouldn't be suspended in the midair, in the middle of air, the air. And so I thought for a moment, perhaps there is particulate matter in the air. And then reasoned that if the light was shining on the particulate matter, it would still shine through or ray through the particulate matter and be on the wall. That wasn't the case. This was self-suspended light. And I watched it for a little while, and I recognized that inwardly that it was my son and that he was showing himself to me. I watched for about a minute and a half, and it slowly faded, and I went and I told my wife what had happened. I said, I'm not sure of what I saw, but I think it was Gabriel. Several months later, we went to see the medium George Anderson. And in the middle of the session, he looked at me, and he pointed his finger, and he said, you've seen him. You saw him as a light in a darkened room, and you didn't know if it was him, but he's telling me to tell you that it was. The end of the story is the third part of it, is when I went into a meditation sometime after that, and I said, Gabriel, why is it that you showed yourself to me in the form of this light, in this kind of mysterious way, rather than as an apparition? Why didn't you present yourself to me as an apparition where I could say, that's you, and I know it's you. And he kind of laughed. And he said, oh, I didn't show you myself because I somehow want to save you from grieving. You're going to have to do that. I came to show you something. And what I wanted to show you is that the light within me is within everyone.
Well, that's wonderful. And I like the way at the beginning you went through every, in your mind, you know, logical reason for the light being there, as you were taught to do.
Yeah.
And eventually you succumb to the realization that there were no logical explanations. And
logical in terms of the materialistic framework that I was using.
Right. How interesting that, you know, that Gabe, that's exactly what we suspect, you know, that we remain entities of light and thought in these other realms. And why appear as a... as an apparition, you know, that might potentially scare you in some fashion, you know. So, you know, it's a wonderful story, and I'm sure you treasure the experience. One thing I wanted to ask,
Bob, if I may, one reason I am certain that I had that experience,
yeah,
was to share it. I'm absolutely certain that the reason I was given that lesson with not only that I should have it, but that we should all have it, that each and every human being, every single person, no matter how we might judge them, has that same light within them.
Mm. I think it's fair to say that most people who suffered a loss of a loved one, and as they're grieving, that a lot of people are compelled, you know, they're driven to learn if there's some meaning, not only meaning in death, but meaning in life. And it's something that troubles a lot of people, and they can't really find any type of comfort zone until they can figure it out. I mean, too many people describe never reaching any resolution, you know, with, and I know you talk about having to determine for yourself whether life has meaning or whether it's meaningless. So, I mean, can you say that you've come to discover that life has meaning?
Yes, very definitely. It has meaning, and it has one crystal clear source, and that's love. We are in essence love. We are bound in love. We were created through and by love. And I think the fundamental lesson that we have to learn is just that, to act in love and to live in love.
Mm. And do you think that we're going to reach this new paradigm of a culture that's based on love at some point, or is it going to take, as many people tend to think, in a especially people with religious background, that there'll be, you know, one day a Messiah or somebody that will come and take us from the darkness to the light?
Well, I don't know if there's a Messiah coming. I can't say that, but I do think that the ultimate lesson we have to learn is to be loving, and that if we don't learn that, no matter what else we do, it doesn't matter.
The you have two poems in your book that I think are extraordinary in showing how one can move from utter darkness and despair to knowledge that there's more than this physical existence. And one of the poems is entitled Birthday, and the follow-up to it is Son to Father. So I know you don't particularly like to read your own poetry, but I wonder if you could do us a favor and read Birthday first for us.
Sure, Bob. And I would just let you know that it's actually one poem called Birthday, In one case, birth is into the physical world, and in the other, it's death into the spiritual world, a form of spiritual birth. The poem, Birthday. In the stillness of meditation, we celebrate together on opposite shores the days of your birth. Father to son, when I saw you come into this world, it seemed that no greater miracle had ever occurred. You were the first child ever born. Adam, when I watched you leave this world, no greater tragedy had ever been. With you, the world ended, and all that remained was darkness. Son to father, on the day of my death, the world was born. How could it have been that I was so unaware? I know peace, I know joy, I know love, I know light. You walk in darkness, where many wander, lost for a lifetime, but there is a path through to the world that you barely remember even with my death. Darkness means nothing. Your task is to listen, and you will find your way.
Do you think that Gabriel had a hand in writing this poem?
I believe he wrote it.
You're not taking any credit at all.
No, the first part, Father the Son, I wrote. I just meant to write that poem, part of the poem. I just wrote that myself.
Right.
And the other part was not from me.
It was as if Gabe said, no, you're not getting off that easy.
No, yeah, exactly. You don't know what real life is. And although it seems dark, you know, and maybe you can't see, but you can listen. And that's kind of what I meant when I said to people, don't judge, just listen. Mm. And eventually the truth will bear out.
You mentioned meditation before. Do you meditate on a regular basis?
No, I'm very bad at it. I tend to be squirrely at times. I don't like to sit so quietly. It's not easy for me. But there are times when I am very fortunate where I can tune in very deeply, and those times are not of my choosing. They're more when I'm being addressed than I seek to be addressed.
Mm. So would you say, I mean, most of the communications that you get, I mean, do they seem to be spontaneous, or do they seem to come in quiet moments of contemplation?
It could come in any form. Sometimes it can be through a dream, sometimes in quiet contemplation, sometimes in the context of writing for a more academic piece. I'm given more intuitive direction. It's not so much that there is a spoken language that I receive as much as a language that's not clothed in words, if I can put it that way. It's an experience of ideas that doesn't have to be contained in words. Mm. Kind of like the experience of a composer working on a piece of music. You don't necessarily have to have language for it, but you could think of music as the language to express it. Well, in this case, there is an aesthetic, but it's not necessarily something that's reducible to clear representation in words. That's mm-hmm. my job, to try to make that transition.
And we have been talking with Dr. Jeffrey Cain. We were discussing his book of poetry, or I should say his half-book of poetry. Gabe is the other part of it. Life as a Novice. And as I mentioned, you can find a link to that book on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we enjoyed it, and we hope to see you again very soon. I'm sure we will.
Well, Bob and Fran, thank you very much, and thank you for all of your fine work with the Foundation and for just being the people you are to help bring this understanding to the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And have a good evening.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicky Steppy, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, and all of the Japanese people who were affected and remain affected by this tsunami. Now let us give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Masuro Emoto back on May 9th, 2010, after the Gulf tragedy. And now we'd like to remind everyone that
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.